This is Unsocial Spectators with Clay Harrison and Mark Ramsey.
And you can find us at unsocialspectators.com and also at unspectators on Twitter. Welcome to episode 40 of the Unsocial Spectators, 1995.
Hey now.
Hey there.
What were you doing in 95?
I had a internet web company.
Oh yeah? Wow.
Yeah, so I was trying to get that up and running.
What did you offer?
Well, it was the early days of the internet. So I offered to made web pages and offered web hosting, and man, some of these companies didn't have email. So I had to email to fax converter system.
Yeah.
So they could get an email address and it would fax them emails.
Wow, that is so 90s.
Yeah, yeah. And I had one of the first Linux web servers that had SSL.
Oh, cool.
Maybe the first 30 or 40 in the world.
Wow.
And yeah, we used a experimental Netflix commerce key.
Yeah.
Back then, you know, so I could do secure transactions really early, you know.
Yeah. Were you in Dallas at this point?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. I ran it out of the hairpiece salon.
Over by the mall.
Yeah, so I had 128 KISDN connection.
Yeah.
And later on, I got a T1, you know. So it was super fast back then.
Fuck, man. I didn't even think I was fucking around with the internet like then. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I first got on the internet in 1994. Maybe June or something.
Yeah.
It was back when I was on the host account on Netcom. It was Sun Unix servers on the internet.
Yeah.
And we just I didn't have you know, like graphical web servers back then. We had to use a program called TIA, and it was a way to hack into the internet through a host account. It was called the Internet Adapter, TIA. And you would hack in that way and be able to access a website through a host account, so you could run Mosaic back then.
The browser?
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, before Netscape or any of that shit.
Man, you're making me feel old.
I was really early, man. Really early.
Yeah, I don't think at that point I was fucking around. I'd grown up with a Commodore 64 and BBSs. So I would just call BBSs. And I'm surprised that it's kind of still a thriving community, that people still are running different BBSs and looking to have different versions available for people to dial into.
You can still telnet into BBSs all over the world. Most BBSs offer Telnet access too, so
Oh, okay.
you can just type on a Windows or Mac machine Telnet and then the IP address or whatever you need to get into that BBS.
Fuck, man. That's just like I kind of feel like it would be better if the internet went back to that. Just if we had to appreciate being like you could only dial into one website and your time was going to be taken up downloading photos, you wouldn't waste it just bad mouthing other people and being an asshole.
Look, back then people were assholes too. You know, it
Yeah, they
just
were.
they weren't mainstream assholes, but they were early adopting assholes, you know. So you had UUNet, and people would just they called it flame wars back then. It
Yeah.
was same shit. Every chat service, every bulletin board eventually turns to shit.
Yeah.
It's just people.
Yeah.
Once you introduce enough people, it turns to shit.
Yeah, I don't know what the perfect size group is to not have like the no asshole rule.
30 maybe.
Yeah.
And you're gonna run into an asshole.
Yeah. I had a Playboy from the 90s that had it has like ad space that it took up to tell you to go to playboy.com and what playboy.com was,
Oh yeah.
and it was just so fucking weird to see them like have to explain the website to people and them, like, here, if you go here, this is what you're gonna get.
Look, back in 95, friends of mine, they published this magazine called Gentleman's Choice, and it was a guide to Dallas area gentlemen's clubs.
Oh, nice.
And I used to write the cyber sex article.
What was the circulation on this magazine?
They would be in all the gentlemen's clubs, and they would be in liquor stores near gentlemen's clubs, you know.
You were the Dallas Observer for gentlemen's clubs.
So in the back there was like escort services, and there would be pictorials of like women's from this gentleman's club or that gentleman's club, you know what I mean. And we would have meetings sometimes at the gentleman's club with the owners of the gentleman's club to sell them this stuff, and it was just crazy shit, you know what I mean?
Okay, so what did you, well, what was the craziest shit that?
Well, we would have these parties at the house. It was called the GQ House. And gentlemen's, because it was the name of the magazine was like, Gentleman's Choice, so GC House. And the guys that published it, and my brother-in-law lived there. I had a bunch of friends. I have ex-roommates that lived there, and that's where I started playing fantasy football. You
Oh,
know,
yeah.
it was just like
Where was the house at? Where was it located?
North Dallas. Yeah,
Yeah.
so when I would get out of work from, and I did their website, so I was doing the website for it, and I was involved with, the magazine. And so I would finish working at the my web company, Masternet, and I would go there after work and hang out, you know. And we would have parties at this house, and we would get all these strippers show up. So it was crazy, man. It was a lot of crazy. Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty damn crazy.
Any borderline criminal activity?
Oh, lots of criminal activity. there were growing weed in the house.
Oh, okay.
You know, and this was back when that was very criminal, and you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was just a different time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, criminal behavior. Yeah, I think so.
Well, I'm just always curious, like, you know, what's transpiring out of the house? Are we doing drug deals out of the house?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so.
And?
Prostitution? Maybe a transaction or something?
Not that I saw.
Okay.
Or remember. You know, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
But we were playing LAN. We had LAN parties all the time.
Oh, wow.
LAN parties with strippers.
Why the fuck do you need a computer then? That's really the question.
Look.
You had the computer because you didn't have the stripper.
There was room under the desk.
If strippers were widely available, LAN parties would never have existed.
Look. You always have to do something the other 15 minutes of the day.
I remember lugging my fucking computer to Dallas for a LAN party to play StarCraft and just having the fucking biggest monitor there. It was so heavy, and having to put it in my chair and roll it to his apartment.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
fuck. God damn. And then just getting my ass beat. Like, you know, you're just. You're doing all this weightlifting to go get your ass beat at a game that, you know, you don't play as much as everyone else did.
Yeah, yippers, those were the days before you could, you know, realistically play pretty good over internet connection. It was really insane, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, going to stuff like... I've been to QuakeCon a bunch of times. Just crazy how it's changed, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I miss it because, like, I remember just going in and I'm trying to remember all the different hotels that it's been at. But, like, now it's way north. It's at the, what's the Grapevine? Wolf Lodge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and
so you can go to a water slide and play Quake.
Yeah, and I mean, I liked it when it was like in Dallas, like, you know, they would just have a giant room full of computers.
Yeah,
and I would just
it used to be
room.
On the at the Hilton over off of 35.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the one I remember the most. One of my favorite pictures of me and a buddy of mine is at QuakeCon, because there's a guy working on his computer with, like, I mean, it's got to be so much crack. I mean, it is, he is bent over, and he looks like there's a Saturday Night Live sketch with Dan Aykroyd just showing plumber's crack and me and him pose with it. We don't even know who the dude was, but man.
That's awesome. Okay, whoa. We're going to talk about our flicks from 1995 we want to talk about. So what are your flicks?
I watched a lot from that year, actually, but I'm going to start with Mallrats because it's another Kevin Smith film. It's Kevin Smith selling out to the studios and doing a teen romp, and it's, you know, it's still fun. I mean, really, what's odd is Mallrats is one of the few movies you can turn the commentary on and laugh harder at that than the movie. Because like Jay's fucked up and drunk during that. Ben Affleck's riding a high because he's like becoming super famous and shit. So he's talking a lot of shit, and they're just busting balls on each other because everyone's friends there. You know, it's one of it's a fun film, but we watched. There's like two cuts. There's like an unedited, and then an edited cut. The unedited added 40 minutes to this fucking movie and is fucking difficult to watch. It has a whole opening scene of just Kevin Smith bullshit. And I thank God somebody just said, hey, none of this works. And it was weird too, because you could see like he had never shot, like, I guess it was to be like an action type thing. And the way the camera is and the way the actors are, it just looks like TV. It just doesn't look good.
Right.
But, oh, my God, it was just so painful to sit through and watch. If you ever watch that, only do it after you've seen regular Mallrats at least a dozen times, because it will help you sort out what works and doesn't work in that in that unedited version.
So were you a Mallrat back in the day?
I would say I was a mall rat back in the day, but it would be more of the 80s mall rat.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Definitely. By this time, I was already out of college. But, I mean, this is the first movie to really have a Stan Lee cameo. But he has more than a cameo. He has, like, dialogue and stuff with Brody. Jason Lee, who's fucking unbelievable skater. This is his first movie. And when you watch him next to Jeremy London, you're like, he's so much better than that dude. Like, they should have replaced that guy. But it's neat to go through this film and read the history of it, too, because this was like Kevin Smith's first big studio film. So they sent like all young Hollywood at it. So like he had tons of people, like Reese Witherspoon auditioned for Mallrats.
Oh, OK.
Like he saw all these like young Hollywood people show up to be in this. But the hardest part was like he had to convince them that Jay could play Jason Mewes, or Jason Mewes could play Jay in the movie, who he had based the character on. But he still had to go up against auditions by Breckenmeyer and Seth Green playing that like stoner type.
Sure.
Because so, like Breckenmeyer would be in Clueless, which I watched too.
So my high school. My first high school was Berkner, and it was across the street was Richardson Square Mall.
Oh, yeah.
So we would constantly, we would go to two or three classes and lunch would hit, and then we'd skip the rest of the day.
What were the big stores at Richardson Square Mall that you hung out at? I'm trying to remember that time period.
Camelot Music.
Oh, yeah.
The Arcade.
Yeah, we had Aladdin's Castle at Townies Mall. That was the mall I'd go to.
We had Fun and Games, and I had two of my buddies work there. So
oh, really?
I had free tokens when I was a kid.
Oh, fuck, that's awesome, man.
Well, maybe not tokens. They would just come hit the button and click all the credits, you know?
Yeah, just give you credit.
But I never paid for games at the arcade, man.
Yeah.
We would hang out at Radio Shack.
Radio Shack is awesome.
We would hang out at the pet store. We would hang out at Spencer's Gifts. We would hang out at, what was that? Chess King.
Oh my God, yes.
Orange Julius.
Gadzooks.
Not back then. Chick-fil-A, if it wasn't Sunday.
Yeah.
Just normal shit back then.
Yeah, so we had an El Chico's at Town East.
Yeah,
so you could go there.
There was an El Chico's too.
Yeah, I just go there and eat, you know, chips and hot sauce and get like a Dr. Pepper and refills.
Oh yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, like in the 80s when I was in high school, we had that mall. We would also go to like North Park and the Galleria. Like there were just, you know, there were so many fucking malls around here to go to. And then but like I've always felt like the Galleria was like the nicest mall.
Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah, I would hang out. My parents' business was at Valley View, so
Valley
I
View.
would always be there. And then I would go, I could walk to the Galleria too. And right next door, I spent a ton of time at Prestonwood Mall,
Oh my God, Prestonwood
ton
Mall.
of time at Collin Creek, you know.
Yeah, did you ever come out and go to Big Town?
No, not really.
Big Town was like the oldest mall in Texas. Well, the oldest mall in the sense that had air conditioning. It like opened in 1971, but it's like on the border of Mesquite and Dallas. And so it was like I'm trying to remember what was in there, but
Valley View opened up earlier.
oh, really?
Oh yeah. Oh
Huh.
yeah. Yeah, not 1960 or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's wild. Like from my brother-in-law's backyard, you can see the mall. It's being torn down. Like his street used to be an entryway into it, and it's all been blocked off. So they're tearing it down. There's just, you know, piles of rubble, and then you can see into the mall where it's just all just been gutted.
Yeah, I really enjoy the abandoned malls photographs, you know. It's kind of
Yeah.
cool.
Yeah, there's a subreddit and there's a couple of channels I follow on YouTube that are like dead malls that just people will go exploring
Oh,
and
yeah.
go into and shit, and it's wild, especially when they like find people in there, because some malls still will like have a security guy, you know, like I don't know what he's protecting, but protecting an empty building that's pretty much just falling apart.
Copper. He's protecting copper. You know, from meth heads going in there and trying to steal all the copper.
Yeah. I wish though that they would like turn those malls into something else, like convert them into something and make them
A
worthwhile.
lot of malls they have, however, they use so much electricity for the air conditioning that it's not economically feasible.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah, you know, so that's why they've all died out and become open air malls, you know.
Yeah, and which sucks in Texas because it's so fucking hot here. Like, who the fuck wants to walk in 100-degree heat to go from store to store?
The one down there's one down the street from me, Factory Outlet, you know,
Oh, yeah.
and they have misters in the summer, and the whole thing has these tarps for shade over it, you know, so it's okay. You can walk in the shade underneath the, you know, right next to the stores, plenty of shade. It's fine.
I
But
guess.
if you're a kid, you're not going to be hanging out there because it's hot.
Yeah, it's like a deterrent.
Well, they still have indoor food courts, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so
You know who owns Orange Julius now?
no.
Dairy Queen.
Really?
Yeah, if you look up Orange Julius, if you like it lets you know the closest one to you, and there's like I think three or four in Texas. They're all located in Dairy Queens. Dairy
Oh,
Queen bought them
great.
out at some point when I think the malls were dying.
Oh, that's crazy. I always love Orange Julius. I think they put an egg in it.
Yeah, it's like a powdered egg is part of the recipe to it. Yeah, I watched a History of Orange Julius because that was like a weird drink for that time period. It was just like in the mall. Like you could always go get an Orange Julius. And I'm pretty sure I know I think it was Richardson Square Mall had one, or Valley View, or both.
Both had one.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, watching Mallrats and just like seeing that mall atmosphere again, I guess I kind of miss it because it was neat not having people on their phones and not having like some of just the bullshit we have nowadays. But it was funny to see Ben Affleck just playing a supporting role.
I remember 1988 being in the mall and had a friend that had a cellular phone.
In 88,
88,
he had the briefcase.
he was the ticket scalper for that part of,
Oh.
he was, and I used to work ticket lines for him. I would run them. I would go meet him in the mall parking lot, like in Townie's mall parking lot.
Yeah.
We worked for Texas Tickets, you know, and then I would get a group of high school kids, and I would get like 20 high school kids, and we would go to like a sound warehouse that had tickets, and they stood in line for me.
Yeah. I remember
I
that.
would run scalper lines, you know,
I remember
that.
that because I went to the first Maverick playoff game, or the drawing, the lottery they had. And so you went out and stood in line, but there wasn't really a line because you got a lottery number and it would just call in a range of people. And then what it had was like this giant V setup. So what it was you would walk up the first part of the V and at the and then get your ticket and then walk out. And so they would have scalpers who would round up homeless people.
Oh yeah, we did that.
And you would get ticket numbers. And so I sat there, it was like me and my buddy Kyle, and then I ran into a friend of mine from high school and his dad. So we had four numbers. We were just trying to get four tickets. So if any of us got it, we were going. And we fucking sat there forever and watched homeless guy after homeless guy go in and get tickets for the fucking scalper.
I had homeless people doing that too, man. I mean, those were the days. We made lots of fucking money, man.
Yeah, that's well. Tickets itself is just a fucking shit business. Ticketmaster, going through a ticket scalper, all of it.
I mean, it's supply and demand. It's pure capitalism.
That is true because when I was in college, when remember the year the Mavericks won like 13 games?
Not
Yeah,
no.
it was like early 90s. I was really a big basketball fan back in the day, and so I go, how much do you think it would cost us to be able to sit on the floor of a Maverick game when they suck as bad as they do? And so for the early 90s, we were able to buy scalped tickets to sit. We weren't on the floor, but we saw them play the Denver Nuggets, and we saw Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. Do you remember him? He went by Chris Jackson, I think, first. He had Tourette's. Like we could hear and see him physically tick on the floor. And like Dikembe Mutombo would probably be taller than the seats we were in. So that was like $50 for the worst team in NBA at that time to go see them and sit on the floor or close to the floor. I think we were like third row.
I remember I paid $50 for when the Mavericks had the NBA All-Star game in Dallas.
Like, oh, wow.
I paid $50 for a ticket. We had the last row.
Yeah.
The last row you could have.
Yeah, the one against the wall?
Yeah, it was $50.
Dude. Because those are the Don Carter tickets. Don Carter always wanted the $5 tickets.
Oh, yeah.
It used to be like the back ring, and it was Reunion Arena. But when it became American Airlines, it's only like a very small section anymore that's back against the wall like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those were the days, man.
Yeah. What did you watch?
So I wanted to talk about The Usual Suspects.
Yes.
Great film.
So good.
The
best Stephen Baldwin movie.
Yeah. I mean, this is the breakout film for Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Even though we want him to go away now. But just the twist,
Oh, and Bryan Singer too. Bryan Singer's got some bad baggage.
The whole movie has some bad baggage, you know. But great film, one of the best kind of heist movies back then, crime movies, you know. So.
Fucking Benicio Del Toro is awesome.
So good. He's so good in that film, you know. And the whole scene with Kevin Spacey sitting in the detective's office and just...
telling the story.
The story is so good, man. So, yeah, that's my pick for 95.
Yeah, Giancarlo Esposito is one of the cops too, isn't he?
I think so, yes.
Okay, yeah. The guy from Breaking Bad.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I also watched Tommy Boy.
Oh, I've never seen it.
Never seen Tommy Boy?
No.
Like, to me, like I was talking with my buddy Terry, like during this time period, you got like Billy Madison and Tommy Boy. You've got like some of the funniest SNL movies.
Back then, I thought the cast of SNL was shit, personally.
Yeah.
So I didn't go see Adam Sandler movies. I didn't go see any of those guys. I didn't give a shit.
Oh, man.
You know?
I have to say, please check out Tommy Boy. It is... it's just silliness and it's funny. I mean, it's, you know, it's a simple premise and it's just letting Chris Farley run amok.
Sure.
But then also, you know, like it's weird because this is the, him and David Spade weren't going to be teamed up for this movie at first until Lauren saw them at SNL and how well they went together. And so them doing this movie was something that kind of always put those two together when you mentioned their names.
Right. Like I said, wouldn't my jam, you know.
Yeah. I still like, there are still quotables in it. There's still stuff that I love about it. I don't know. This, I kind of got back into some of these movies too, because like, you know, in a few years I would be married to someone who had kids. And so I would be talking Saturday Night Live and Chris Farley was like one of Spencer's favorite people on SNL.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you go back through all the SNL that had come before to somebody who's brand new to it. And it's neat because you get to show them all the different comedy. And he kind of latched on to that time period because he loved Adam Sandler, and I had some Adam Sandler comedy albums. Chris Farley was fucking hilarious, and he had seen Beverly Hills Ninja. So to him, that was like the funniest fucking movie of all time.
Yeah, never seen that either.
Oh, it's just silly. I mean, again, it's just Chris Farley. They just find something for him to do, and he just takes that and runs with it.
I wanted to talk about the She-Hulk finale.
Yes, all right. Let's get into it.
Pretty meta.
Very.
Kevin was great.
You like the robot that is making everything for Marvel?
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious. But AI Kevin. I thought it was good. I thought the whole series was what Marvel needed.
Yeah.
You know?
It's weird going from watching Pulp Fiction last week to seeing Tim Roth do comedy in She-Hulk this week.
Yeah, and I thought the funniest thing about it is it was so meta because the whole thing is about these bros who are so anti-feminine shit in Marvel.
Yeah.
You know, and the whole thing predicted what was going to happen to the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, they used, like, that was part of the bit in some of the posts that they used in the show.
Yeah.
They used real posts that they would get on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter from people who would just, you know, pour mouth and go, what, now it's only women that have superpowers? You know, it's just dumb shit.
My God, it's incredible. Get over yourself. Okay, yeah. So She-Hulk was pretty damn good. Hopefully they're going to come out with another season.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, it was just, I love the meta jokes. I love it being, you know, like the show was. And it doesn't have to be like action all the time. It could just be a stop down for jokes and comedy.
Yeah, breaking the fourth wall is pretty fun.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, though, I would love to see a scene with She-Hulk and Deadpool talking about breaking the fourth wall and who they think they're talking to.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's got to go to another level now because it's just so meta that I want to know who does She-Hulk think she's talking to, because I think Deadpool's answer is way fucking weirder.
So I went against your advice and watched the Man Thing.
Oh boy, yes. Let's get into it.
Not that bad.
Yeah, I guess it's a sci-fi movie. Like that's what I tell people. Sure. Like, you know, like I defended him last week on my other podcast. Because there's some sci-fi used to do some okay stuff. Sometimes it's just either bad scripts, bad casting, or bad special effects. But there's usually one that's really bad in sci-fi films.
But I did think it was interesting that it was a actor that was reused in other Marvel properties.
Oh, yeah. Who was it?
The blonde was Jessica Jones' sister.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I think I remember looking this up and going, oh, shit.
Yeah, so I thought it was funny that it was a Marvel thing that Marvel then reused that actor for another Marvel thing. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, I did not even... Holy shit. That's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And then I saw a bunch of really cool horror stuff because I'm doing my 31 Days of Horror this month. I saw... Ty West, one of his early films, The House of the Devil. Pretty damn good. It's on Criterion. It's a 80s horror film. Really cool 80s style. Really enjoyed it. Saw that for the first time. Saw The Frighteners for the first time.
Oh, I love The Frighteners.
Yeah.
Peter Jackson.
Yeah, it was the director's cut of that. I really enjoyed that. I saw Nosferatu the Vampire.
The 70s Klaus Kinski one?
Oh, yeah. That was pretty fun. I saw The Hidden.
The
Hidden.
Oh, I know this one from the poster. I think it's divided.
Fucking awesome. Never seen it before. Kyle MacLachlan and the guy that played the head vampire on Fright Night.
Yeah.
Really good sci-fi horror film. You know, I was surprised. I had never heard of it, you know. So,
I think I saw it on a Joe Bob special. That's how I saw it.
Criterion's doing this 80s horror, and I'm watching a ton of good stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So, I also saw The Howling.
Classic werewolf.
First time? Oh, yeah.
Holy shit. That's a staple in my house.
Really good, you know.
American Werewolf in London, Soldiers. Those are like top three werewolf movies of all time.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that. I saw The Vanishing. It's a Dutch film from like 1988. Really cool film, you know.
Another Criterion?
Yeah. It's a serial killer. He kidnaps this guy's girlfriend, and 3 years later, he keeps seeing the guys looking for her, putting up posters and stuff. So the serial killer shows up to tell him what happened. And spoilers coming up. At the end, he says, the only way I can tell you what happened is to show you what happened. And you have to drink this this thing that'll knock you out. And so he knocks him out, and the guy wakes up buried alive.
Oh, fuck.
It is really, really good, man. Yeah,
check that out.
Check out The Vanishing if you get a chance.
Yeah, it says it's available on Amazon for like $3.99.
Oh, yeah. Really fun. It's Dutch. It's in Dutch. Have subtitles. And I also saw Antlers.
Oh, I want to see this.
Fucking great. It's
really?
On. Yeah, it's on Hulu.
Yeah, that's where I saw the trailer for it, because I was like,
fuck.
I think somebody even said, save that, we may watch that.
Yeah, it has, what's her, Carrie Russell. She's great. She's a badass in that film, man.
Ever since The Americans, man, she's just fucking kicking it.
Oh yeah, I'm in season 4 of loving The Americans now, you know. So and I saw this one show on Grim Cuddy.
Oh yeah, I saw the trailer for that too.
So good, man.
Really? Okay.
Yeah,
I think that's Hulu too.
It's really, really good. I really enjoyed it, man. Yeah, we're checking that one out. And did I see? I saw Underworld.
Oh yeah, the vampire werewolf fighting. Yeah, that has been a franchise that I've hated since the first movie.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
okay.
I just don't care to watch any of them, and I just don't get them.
What else have you been watching?
Well, shit, I'm still in 95.
Oh, okay.
I pulled out some physical copies of stuff that I had because I actually own two copies of Ghost in a Shell, both steelbooks. And I put the DVDs in because I wanted to see like what extras I could watch on it. They're the same fucking DVD, like same menus and everything. And I was like, oh, but yeah, I love Ghost in a Shell. Like, it's one of my favorite animes of all time. It's best seen in a theater with incredible sound system because it was like, trying to bring the mainstream into anime with this. This was going to be like a worldwide hit. And it bombed big time, but then you watch it and visually it's stunning. The story's like very, very layered and has a lot of shit about like existence and consciousness and discussion like that. But the score is just so out there and fantastic and works, but nothing you would think like a mainstream audience would pick up on. So.
Right. Yeah, a lot of times you have to dumb it down for the mainstream, you know?
Yeah, well, and they eventually did by making it a live action film with Scarlett Johansson, which is not a bad film, but
No,
it's not the anime on any
sure.
level whatsoever. It is an action film, and that's it. But yeah, I love Ghost in the Shell. I think I've read the manga one time. But to me, it's the movie. Like, I know it's adapting the manga, but the movie is just visually fucking that and Akira I could watch over and over again. And then I'm still in 95. Amy Heckerling's Clueless. We watched that last night, and it's weird because Clueless comes out in 95, and if you go by the numbers for Gen X, a Gen Xer could be born in 1980. And would be 15 when Clueless comes out. So he'd be a high, or he or she would be a high schooler, and that would still be a Gen X high school film.
I've never seen it.
Oh, really? Oh, it's really
Well,
good.
in 95, I was hanging out at the stripper house.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, hold on, strippers. I'm gonna go watch this high school movie.
Yeah, so I just wasn't watching films like that back then, you know?
Everyone in that movie, that they're at their best in this movie. Like, I would say there's like a handful because there is the guy from My Dinner with Andres in it, and there's a I don't think Stacey Dash ever does anything ever again except Fox News after this. But then Paul Rudd would go on to be fucking Ant-Man and
Sure.
every what is he? Shit, I'm having a brain fart about him. Oh well. It's Breckenmeyer, Paul Rudd, and the guy from Scrubs.
Wasn't Paul Rudd in Halloween 4?
Yeah, he's in Halloween 4. That was his first movie. And oh my God, that's a really bad movie. It's a really. Like 4, 5, and 6 are really tough to justify at all, other
Oh,
than
sure.
saying, do you want to see Paul Rudd, or do you want to see how they recycle Donald Pleasance on film?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Speaking of Donald Pleasance, I watched the Lucas cut of THX 1138.
Oh, really? I don't think I've ever seen that.
Oh my, you ever seen the original cut?
Not the original. I mean, just the standard one, the theatrical release.
Yeah. You've seen the theatrical release.
Yeah.
The Lucas cut. He went in and changed it. You know, like he does.
He added Jabba the Hutt to THX-1138.
Pretty much. So there's a scene where he's looking at hologram women and to masturbate to.
As you
and,
do.
And yeah. And the original scene is just the dancing naked woman, but he put new effects in for the woman, and then puts in this masturbating robot.
What? Where yeah, did you see this?
On a DVD. It's the Lucas. You have to see this, Clay.
So it's a DVD of a director's cut.
It was a Blu-ray of the director's cut of THX 1138. It is you can go to a website that tells you what the differences are, and in on the website, they're like section 4, masturbating robot. Now, when I first wanted to watch this movie again, I used to have the Laserdisc, you know?
Yeah.
So I know it backwards and forwards. I maybe watched it 10 times because I think it's Lucas's best directed film, in my opinion.
Yeah, because it has to be like soulless.
Oh yeah, pretty good. But when I'm watching it and all, I'm like, I don't remember that. Wait a minute, that looks too good, you know. And then there's a masturbating robot, and I'm like, that never happened, for God's sakes. And he went back. He did all this shit to that movie, and it's not bad, you know. I mean, yeah. It makes it better, I think, you know, which probably, you know, people yelled and screamed about the additions he did to Star Wars, and
yeah,
it's fine. Who gives a shit, you know? But
it's his movie.
Yeah. Whatever, I don't care. But I think it makes it better. You know, I enjoyed it more this time, you know. So
yeah, so Wikipedia gives 5 versions of the movie.
Uh-huh.
There's the student film from 67.
Yeah.
The studio version of 71.
Yeah.
A restored version in 77.
Yeah.
The director's cut of 2004. Uh-huh. And a novelization.
Well, director,
it's director's cut's the last thing. It's just the novelization was from 71.
Yeah, it's called the George Lucas cut on the Blu-ray, you know. So, but yeah, I liked it more. So, yeah, speaking of Donald Pleasance, because, you know, he's in the film.
Yeah,
he's in
it, yeah.
So yeah, that was cool. I also saw Kroll again.
Oh yeah. You dig that?
Yeah. Well, I loved that film as a kid, and I love the video game that came out for that film. I used to play the hell out of that video game back in the day at Redbird Mall. You know,
yeah,
and I also saw Dark Glasses,
yeah, on AMC,
yeah, it's also on Shudder.
Yeah, that was their big preview. Like Shudder does these like, but this has been an exception. Like they've run movies where it's been like, we're going to stream this one time live, and then it never shows up in the library. But now they've put it in the library because this was like a big event for them to stream this live and debut this movie.
Yeah, it's an Argento film from this year, and it's really good.
You dug it?
Yeah, it's a good giallo film, you know? And Red is in it because of Argento, you know? Not his best, but pretty damn good. It's about a woman that is getting stalked by this serial killer, and she gets being chased by the serial killer and in a car, and gets in the accident and goes blind. And she, two of the parents die, and this Chinese kid doesn't die, and she like befriends the kid, and the kid, you know, escapes the from the home. And goes and lives with this blind woman, and while the serial killer still wants to kill her. So it's really dark and interesting that you're getting chased by a serial killer, but you're blind. You know, yeah. It's a cool premise, so worth a watch. Let's see, anything, oh, I rewatched The Terminator.
Oh, the OG 82 one?
Yeah, last night I watched Friday again, rewatched that. You know, it's Friday.
Yeah, it's just fucking fun.
So somebody donated 200 or 300 Blu-rays to my library. So I'm getting all this cool shit, man.
Oh, what are you getting?
Well, THX, Heat. I watched Heat again. The director's cut of Heat was awesome. Underworld, Terminator and Friday. So I've been getting, dude, I have a copy of 2010 waiting for me. Haven't seen that in years. Can't wait to rewatch it.
God, I have not seen that in years.
Yeah, Roy Schneider doing 2010. So yeah, I'm excited about all the films I'm going to have access to that I haven't been able to have access to, you know?
Yeah, that's cool. I've got, I had three more movies I had laid out that I like grabbed before this. Cause I was like, they were for 95 and I didn't get to them. Cause last week I said, I'm going to watch 12 Monkeys and I put it in the pile and it was at the bottom of the pile. And then I saw I had Desperado. I didn't get to watch that. But one of my favorite series is the Before trilogy, like Before Sunset, the Ethan Hawke, Julie Delpy series by Richard Linklater. I just think that's just the funnest fucking experiment of film, is to make a film and revisit it. I think they did it every 11 years. And the only thing is I've never watched the third film. Like, I've watched the first one, and I've watched the second one.
Do you want the third film? I have a copy.
That's what I have is, like, I have their, like, what box set is this? Is this a Criterion? Yeah, this is the Criterion box set of the Before trilogy a book and everything. Yeah, I've got it. It's just, I know how it kind of plays out, and I don't think I want to sit through that. Like, I enjoy how the second one ended. And to me, that's where it's at. So I may revisit it one day, but yeah, I don't know.
And it's interesting, Boyhood.
Boyhood's another one that's like a real wild experiment. Like, again, of the filmmakers that are telling our stories, Richard Linklater is up there, you know, from Slacker to, I mean, what's the latest thing he's done?
And he's a really nice guy too.
What did you meet him on a set?
No, I've had dinner with him, you know.
Oh, fuck. What did
Yes.
you ask him? What did you talk about?
Oh, just anything but movies. You know, I mean, look, celebrities want to talk about anything but that shit.
Yeah, but he seems like a storyteller, so to me, I would just want to ask like those kinds of questions.
There were people around me at the dinner table asking that shit. I didn't want to. I asked about where you growed up, stuff that I was actually interested in. Everything else is on the internet. You can see it, you know? I remember I sat on the bench with Peter Weller and, it was just him and I at the Dallas International Film Festival
Yeah.
talking about Roman history.
How says he's such an asshole? Like he just really went off on how bad that guy was. And so, but you seem to have a decent interaction with him.
Because I didn't ask him about fucking RoboCop. We talked about what he was interested in. You know what I mean? I understand why they are prickly when they have to answer the same goddamn question over and over again. I'd be mad too, you know?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, on some level, I figure it depends on the interaction. Like, I figure with Kyle, he saw him at a con. So it's like, you know, you're going to get those kinds of questions. Like, you don't go into it thinking, you know what? I really hope no one here's going to know that I was in RoboCop.
I sat on the bench. He gave me a cigar. We sat there, smoked cigars
Oh,
on
wow.
a bench
You
at
smoke cigars with RoboCop.
Oh no, I smoked cigars with a Roman historian, you
That,
know?
yeah, I forgot he has his PhD in history from, I forget where he went to get that.
I don't know, but we both interested in something and sat around and talked about it. I didn't ask for an autograph. I didn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I treated him like a person. So when you treat people like people, they're not, they don't have their guard up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they just can kind of talk because it's not, yeah. Hey, but when you're in that business, I figure you gotta expect that you're gonna get those kinds of questions and.
Well, look, I have grown up around celebrities. My
Okay.
father made hair pieces for celebrities. He'd done that for years. I used to sit and talk with Fats Domino for hours,
Yeah.
just about stuff,
Stuff, yeah.
They're people, so I know how to treat people as people when they're famous, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I guess it just, you know, I always think of the scenario that people are in because it's like we usually see people at conventions or at film festivals. And so that's the kind of people that are there that are interested in those kinds of questions.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, but then, you know, like my buddy Terry, he always I've taken him to conventions and he's kind of observed it as an outsider to see. You know, there's always people who have questions that are just, they're in a big giant group setting and they're gonna make the focus about them. You know, there's always those too. So it's just
sure. No, I agree. I just I think I have the empathy to know sometimes they just want to be talk about other stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyways, so I have been watching this show called Reboot on Hulu.
Yes, I started the first episode, but I told Shelby, I go, I think you might be interested in this, so let's watch it at some point.
Kind of fun. I just needed a 30-minute show, you know.
Yeah, and it's perfect for that.
Yeah, I finished watching this full, so I just grabbed another one. Pretty funny. Pretty funny.
Yeah, so the whole premise is there is a woman who is rebooting like a TGIF type show from like 20 years ago, but kind of has a different take on it that the actors from the show dig. And the actors are Johnny Knoxville and Key from Key and Peele.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the writer I think is Rachel McBloom. Is that it? She's from My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure, but yeah, it's a pretty good show.
Yeah, and so she's apparently writing in a character that is based on herself because she is the forgotten daughter of the guy who created the show. Mm-hmm. And that's the Bad About You guy, Peter, or what's that fucking guy's name? Is it Mad About You? What is that guy's name?
Huh?
Her boss on the show, on Reboot, Paul Reiser. The original writer of the show. Like, in the pilot, he shows up and talks about, like, how the show should be, and she quits, and then they convince her to come back because they like her writing better than his writing.
I didn't realize that was Reiser.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure that was him. I'm not sure, but maybe. I don't remember. If it is, he's really aged.
Yeah.
Really aged.
Because he's been on Stranger Things. So...
I have to make sure I look closer because I didn't know.
Yeah, apparently he showed up in The Boys as well. That's a wild casting.
Yeah, and I rewatched one of my favorite westerns, High Plains Drifter.
Oh wow, I haven't seen that in a long time.
Oh, so fucking good.
Yeah,
I'm really enjoying going through this guy's Blu-ray collection. Oh God, it's gonna be good the next few weeks.
Yeah, I've got a couple that I watched this week, just because I enjoy the Charles Band and the Full Moon movies, like Puppet Master and shit like that.
Sure.
Shelby and I had never seen the Evil Bong series, so we watched the first one of that.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it's wild because Charles Band, like, you could look at these movies and there's just so much filler in them. Like, it's basically like maybe a handful of jokes, some kind of story, and then some kind of gimmick, and that's really it. That's all these full movies. But like Puppet Master is about the kill. I love Trancers and shit like that. But like by the time they're on the eighth Evil Bong movie, they're like not even an hour long.
Oh yeah. You know, it's a money grab at that point. So next week we have 1996.
Yes.
I'm gonna take Bound.
Wow. Okay, that's a good one. I'm gonna say Cable Guy because I kind of want to revisit it. I'm not sure. The two movies I do have that I probably will rewatch will be The Long Kiss Goodnight and Swingers.
Okay, good. Good. Swingers is a good pick.
Yeah.
Because that trend lasted 6 months.
I know, but look at Jon Favreau. He went from that movie to fucking making Iron Man, and now he's making Star Wars, and it's like, that dude made a fucking movie about swing music and being broken up with, and yeah. He's making The Mandalorian.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So, yeah, okay.
Also next week, we're gonna talk about Halloween Ends, because you're gonna see it in the theater.
Yeah, have you already seen it?
Yes, I did watch it.
Don't say anything. I want to be surprised. I'm trying not to look at any reviews.
Don't look at anything.
Yeah, I'm gonna have fun on Tuesday. I'm going to go see the matinee. I have enough quarters.
How many quarters do you need?
I think $8 worth of quarters.
Damn.
For the matinee.
That's a good deal for $8.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's $7.26 or something, you know.
I guess I was figuring like a matinee was like $12 now.
No, $6.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, because I haven't been to theater in like 3 years, so.
Yeah, $6 is okay. Okay, man. We're going to see you next week.
All right, later.
Later.